is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hey, it's Bram. I'm over here sitting on the couch loving Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey. And I tried it. I can't do it, guys. I'm like Hallmark. I like them a lot. Hallmark Christmas movies.
It's Alonzo, and I have mixed feelings about Hallmark Christmas movies.
What up? It's your boy, Dan. I'm over here on my chair. You know what, Bran?
What?
I despise them Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah. You know what this is?
What?
The Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Yeah.
Big energies, boys. It's the last one of the marathon, but not the last one of the week. Not the last one of the week. We got more.
No. We got a Santa Steakout.
Santa Steakout. We got another Lifetime preview episode. What a week we have.
What a week we got coming up.
We're packing them in.
Yep.
Packing them out.
That's right.
What a day it has been here in the studio with my friends here in that Greenville. What a day.
Pretty sure by this point we've already done the Lifetime preview episode.
I moved it because we've already, if we already had it, we might as well.
Okay, got it. Yep. Got it.
Cool. Typically we won't, but in this case we do will. Have it.
And so we might do. As well. You want it. We got it. That's we exactly have it. Right. You know it.
Yes. You what I'm trying
it.
To say.
We have it.
You know want it. You mm-hmm. got it.
We are the boys. What a day it's been here in the marathon.
I mean,
wrapping it up.
Highs, lows.
I beat everybody at Monopoly. It was wonderful.
Top five highs. Panda, go.
Eating snacks with the boys.
Snacks with the boys is a big high. Yeah.
Number four. Okay. Knocking out our first movie of the year. Christmas season. Watching now together. Yeah, season four. That was big high, big ups. Number three, talking to our fans as they were calling in. That's number three. Number two.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, number two, just getting a chance to play a little bit of Monopoly.
Oh, Monopoly.
A lot of fun. And number one, I think it's safe to say Chris.
Quiz book. Oh.
Chris Palaha coming to visit.
My number one is arguing about pizza toppings with Chris Palaha for a half an hour. If that's not number one, what is?
Why?
A half an hour.
That's how you know you've reached a level of intimacy.
That's right. Yelling and screaming.
Going in and mushrooms. Out of the teen quiz.
That's right. Yeah.
It was interwoven. It was put together like a tapestry.
Pizza mushrooms. Teen quiz, are you calling Andrew Walker? It was a lot.
There was a lot going on in that one moment. A lot, but we don't get to hang out very often, so there was a lot we had to get to.
Man,
it really has been such a day. So thank you to everybody who
has
tuned
in
at any point in time. Thank you to everybody, all the Hall Stars who came in to talk about their movies that are coming out. So fun doing that.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. But you know what? I think we're all happy to be on towards the end of it.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
But that, you know why?
Because and until
that
next year, we'll do it
means,
again.
That just means we got another episode coming out soon.
That's right.
We do it again.
That's right.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Never get back on that horse because it's never ending.
Did you say horse?
No.
It's late and my ears are going a bit.
Rick, what did you think of the marathon?
You know, I've seen better marathons. We did a 6 day, five night, all you can eat at Fitzy's. You had to eat a crab leg an hour for six
you had
days.
To.
Yes. One, but just one an hour. So you could pace yourself. It was a good buffet.
You could start at minute one and then do it again at hour 59.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. You could. Yeah, that, yeah. It was, yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah. It was called Krabby Week. And we did the whole week.
Krabby Week.
Yeah. It was a buffet, too, and some other things you could get if you wanted them. But that was mainly crab legs.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
Really quick before we dive into this episode, so many exciting things about this holiday season, such as a partnership with Philo, our partnership with Universal Yums.
Man.
If you need a wonderful subscription service for snacks during the holiday season, they got you covered. All the amazing snacks that you will need. That Indonesia box is
just great.
So much fun. So be sure to check them out. You can follow along with us at deckthehallmark.com on the social medias and all that good stuff for more
publication of our book.
Yes, our book is out now. So please go out, find the book in the wild, take a picture, post it on social media, tag us at Hallmark Podcast. We would love to see where the book is. We don't even know. Yeah. We don't really know.
It's popping up left and right.
It was at TJ's Burgers and More.
We couldn't believe it. It was part of the More.
Right corner, they have some books and records.
Which is crazy because TJ can't read. Good at making burgers.
Well, he's a businessman. So good,
yeah.
He's like, you know what? People like books.
He can sell them.
He can sell them, absolutely. Yep.
He doesn't know how much money you're giving him at any given point. So it's possible that he's taking way less money.
You need to be able to read.
He doesn't recognize numbers so well either.
Interesting.
So he's not a great businessman, nor should he run anything with a tricky retail. But he makes a mean burger, is what you're
saying.
Christmas in My Art originally aired on October 23rd, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And it went a little something like this. Beth is teaching violin in her family house after her mom passed away very recently. We meet Sean Brant, who's a famous, very famous country star, who's secluded his life. He's pulled him and his daughter, moved into this nice big old thing in the middle of nowhere. He loves it. And he heads into a music store one day to buy some music for his daughter, who is learning how to play the violin. And he bumps into Beth, who is there, and says, "Here's what you need if you want your daughter to learn the violin. I'm also doing some teaching while I'm here, so just let you know." The daughter decides to hire her, but he ends up getting hired to teach the daughter, and she loves Beth. But he feels like they're getting too close too soon because the daughter's opening up about her mom for the first time, never really done that. And his daughter's, and so Sean is like, "Hey, you can't do that. We can't do this anymore." And his daughter's like, "Shove off, Dad. Like, I love her and I need this." And he's like, "Okay, I'll shove off." He finally starts writing again. And he writes a banger of a Christmas tune. And he's like, "This is the one, everybody." And I've got, there's more where that came from.
Good, it gets stuck in your head.
Exactly right.
Sing us a bar.
I cannot. Yeah, I thought so. He takes the song to Beth and says, "Hey, you got to hear this song. It's very like, hey, I'm playing you this song. This is going to be great." She's like, "It's okay." But that's how you really know that they're comfortable with one another. Am I right? But he decides, you know what? I'm going to go back to Nashville. I'm going to record. And I'm ready to get back to the way that life was. Beth, also working on a new gig, is she's gonna be no longer teaching. She's going to be a part of a Philharmonic. And it's
way to say that word. A Philharmonic.
Yes, a Philharmonic. And it is the night of the big performance. And Beth is finally, she finished her performance in time to get over to see the whole thing. And Sean is there as well. And Katie is real nervous. The daughter's really nervous. And Beth pulls out her violin, like, "I'm going to help." And Sean pulls out his guitar, and he's like, "I'm going to help." And they both strum, and they're like, "Boom." And they look at each other like, "We're helping each other at the same time? This is crazy." They get on stage. They start playing together. They're loving it. And afterwards, they are together. They're talking. And he's like, "Hey, I got some news. I want to go to dinner with you. And also, I'm not moving to Nashville. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to record songs in my barn. And also, I would really like to go out on a date with you." And she's like, "It's music to my ears." And they decide that in this moment, it's time to kiss. And so they do that, and they love it. And that, my friends, was
Christmas in My Heart.
That's exactly Philharmonic.
Right. We did it.
Philharmonic.
We did it. We did it. We did it.
Yes. Hey, we got 4 seconds to break this movie down. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to share with our listeners exactly how we felt about this movie and so much more here on
Deck the Hallmark.
Guys, I gotta tell you something important, and it's the fact that I love denim. I love it. I love jeans. I love jean jackets.
You are a jean jacket
guy. I am a sucker for denim. And I got to tell you, if you're like me and you're a sucker for denim, look no further than Everlane.
Listen.
You're not a big denim boy.
I'm not. My wife ordered some jeans from Everlane, and she could not stop talking about them. Got the high-rise jeans. Mm-hmm. She couldn't stop talking about them. Best denim she's ever worn.
They're premium organic jeans minus the luxury markup. No more markup here.
Responsibly sourced.
Yes, that's exactly right. Cleaner fabrics, cleaner factories, cleaner impact. That's what Everlane's all about, and fantastic products. All you got to do, here's good news, everybody. Go to everlane.com/deck, and you're going to get 10% off your first order plus free shipping. Wow. And you get some easy returns within 30 days to make sure that you get the perfect product for you. 10% off your first order when you go to everlane.com/deck today. And don't forget, this entire season is brought to you by Philo. If you want to watch all these movies and so much more, you can go to philo.tv/DTH and get 25% off your first 2 months all the way through the holiday Christmas.
It's your holiday movie hub.
It's your holiday movie hub. That's exactly right. So go to philo.tv/DTH, get 25% off today. Mm. Boy.
Here we go.
We are talking about Christmas in my heart. Let's break it down. I think we're going to start with the hot take, if that's okay with the boys. I know it's been a long day. We could take is where we need to go. And I think we need to go with Panda. I got to say Lindy Booth.
Gotta say Lindy Booth.
Panda, what did you think about this movie, pal?
Yeah, so there are a couple performances that I thought were fun to watch. I thought the daughter in this is a really fun individual to watch. She is, I would say, a really solid child actor.
Yeah.
Does a great job. The music teacher, what's her name in this?
Shirley Ralph.
No. Heather Hemmings.
Oh, yeah.
And Maria Nash is the child.
The end of the movie, Shirley Ralph is the music teacher.
No, I'm talking
the
like
violin the violin teacher.
The violin.
Lynn teacher.
Yes. Heather Hemmings.
Yeah, what's her character?
Beth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Beth. I thought Beth, pretty good performance overall. I don't know if I sensed a lot of chemistry between her and, why am I blanking on
Luke
his name?
McFarlane? Yeah,
Luke McFarlane. Don't know if I really sensed that. I don't know. I just didn't really, I don't know. They didn't work for me together that well. I think a lot of it hinged on the fact that I don't know if I bought Luke McFarlane as a country music singer. I mean, obviously and clearly he's musically talented. I'm not saying he's not, but I just don't know if this role connected for me as much. Movie felt a little slow to me. There are some good moments, some good feels, but I get the feeling that this is going to be another year where the Hallmark movies and mysteries just don't connect as much for me. And the Hallmark movies are going to be the ones that really bring it home for me. So that's where I'm at.
Alonzo, where you at?
Oh, boy. I don't know if it's just the exhaustion talking, but I did not really connect much with anything here. I don't think I will say, yes, Maria Nash, the child, is good. The individual performers are talented and capable. I like Shirley Ralph a lot, even in what she's called upon to do in Hallmark stuff. Like, I thought she was a real scene stealer in Holly Lodge, whatever that one was called.
Christmas at Holly Lodge?
Christmas at Holly Lodge, yeah.
Is that it?
I'm on the record as a big fan of McCharmon, but I think he is miscast here.
Yep.
He has, look, yes, he can play the cello, but he's also a woodworker. Like, I get it. He contains multitudes, but between the inconsistent accent and the haircut that is trying really hard to make him seem real country, that just wasn't working for me. And then this was a movie where I felt like he and and Heather Hemmings were connecting as like, let's raise my daughter together. But I wasn't getting like super romance sparks at all. Although they do kiss big ones. But until then, not much crackle going on there.
Well, the good news is it's not the last we see of Luke McFarlane. It's holiday season.
That's correct.
Heading over to Netflix.
Very single all the way.
Guys, here's what you need to know about this movie. The girl, Maria Nash is her name, this little girl. She's worth watching this movie for because she's fantastic. She has an amazing scene with everybody in this movie. Like, she has individual scenes with each person that matters in this movie, and she steals all of those scenes. She's amazing. Best performance by a kid I've seen in a long time in one of these movies.
Better than Avery Peters?
Yes.
Really?
I think she's just phenomenal. Wow. I thought she was just absolutely phenomenal.
Avery Peters was a
Travis Van Winkle movie where his...
Operation...
Operation Christmas Tree.
I love this little girl. I thought she was fantastic. And I thought that she and Luke had a really nice little thing going on. It worked for me, that father-daughter connection. This was going to be one of those movies, man. Like, if they didn't get together at the end, like, if it was just a movie about grief and parenting and figuring out how to, keep going in life, like, sometimes those stories are worth telling and you don't have to have the two people kiss at the end, because they didn't quite work for me. I liked them when they were talking to each other, but I didn't necessarily need them to get together at the end. The reason to watch this movie is for the performances from that amazing child actor. So shout out to her. Good movie overall. I liked it.
Woof. This movie's real bad, guys. It is not worth your time in any capacity. Wow. Maria Nash is the shining star of the film. There is one scene in this movie that is, in my opinion, wonderful. Like, maybe best scene of the year. The other, I guess that would be 78 minutes of the movie. Some of the worst we've seen all year. Real bad. Luke McFarlane is more than capable. He's got a whack-a-mole accent and a $3 haircut. I don't know what to tell you. It's not good. Shirley Ralph doesn't get a whole lot to do. It's a mess of a movie. They never really establish any sort of place in this movie. Charleston, West Virginia is the capital, for crying out loud. They don't do any work to establish any sort of West Virginian anything. It was real bad, and being up late and tired made it worse and exacerbated the fact that it's not a good movie and the definite stinker of the weekend. Like, I don't think there's any doubt this is the worst.
Definite stinker of the weekend.
Like, we haven't even seen Santa Stakeout, but the trailer of Santa Stakeout is better than this movie. So it is unfortunate. I feel like, with Chateau Christmas, it was a bad movie, but they never let him do the music thing. And in this movie, it's like they overcorrected. They saw the pendulum and they just threw it to the other side of the world. And he's out
there.
This
is better than Chateau Christmas.
This is better than Chateau Christmas for sure, because of the kid, because of the one scene in mention. But it's still like, none of it rings very true aside from that one scene between Shirley Ralph and Maria Nash. So it's a hard pass dumpster fire from Dan.
Let's go to all the feels. Part of the show, we talk about what gave us feels. Panda.
There's a scene near the end of the movie where the husband stands up. The husband. It's the dad of Beth, and he's talking about his wife, and they have Carol of the Bells playing behind him, that she's playing. And so it's a cut between her playing and then the little choir thing. I don't know why. Carol of the Bells, you play that song, it always gives me feels. I love Carol of the Bells. And so they add it to it. It felt like it gave what he was saying some gravity, probably undue gravity to what he's actually saying, but it worked for me. I got just chills. But I get that whenever Carol of the Bells plays. I loved it. It was beautiful.
It's not very ladylike.
Classic Santa Claus.
Alonzo.
The scene that Dan just mentioned between, Maria Nash and Shirley Ralph, not just because they're both really great performers and they're connecting, but they have this conversation about the child is talking about, you know, how she wants her grandmother to do her hair for the recital, and they kind of go back and forth. The kid is like, I want to get slick back. That's what I'm seeing in social media. And the grandmother's like, well, you can stand out. You can do whatever you want. I'll make it happen for you. And, you know, black women's hair is a specific cultural, you know, phenomenon. There's, you know, there was that Oscar winning short film Hair Love, you know, from a year or two ago. And like, I have a friend who is white and he adopted a young black daughter and went to classes to learn how to braid her hair, how to care for her hair, all that stuff. And again, we talked about this on the Boyfriends of Christmas Past. Hallmark has had a track record of like, let's do this film with, you know, black actors, but the script feels like it could have just been written for white people. And this year, it looks like, just judging from these early movies, that they're actually going to bring in some actual cultural specificity. And so the fact that you have two black women in a movie talking about hair feels like something I have never seen on the Hallmark Channel before.
Bingo.
So that kind of blew me away. And I like the fact that as much as I was not crazy about Sean's Christmas song, that Beth's immediate response is to give him notes.
Yeah.
And at first he's like, really, you're criticizing me? And she's like, well, no, but yes. And then he's like, well, you know what? My wife was always my toughest critic. And he actually responds to that. And there's this sense of like, you're not picking at me, you are a peer and you respect me and you're telling me, you're not just going to tell me, oh, it's great. You're going to tell me, yeah, it's good, and then you need to fix this part. And so the idea of two musicians connecting on that level, I thought, felt, you know, vivid in a way that the nothing else in this movie does, as far as certainly their relationship to each other.
Dan, you want to go ahead, because we're just to finished talking about that scene.
Alonzo articulated really well, as per usual. I just think that the scene almost brought me to tears, and the rest of this movie is just not indicative of how good that scene is. And like, just on the page, you could read that scene and go, you can see the actors in the scene, and you can see how it matters to the actors in the scene, and you can see that is what representation looks like.
Yes.
And so I was really blown away by it, and just incredibly moved. And I wish the rest of the movie had lived up to the promise of that scene, because it came early on and I was all in at that point. So big fan of that scene. Maybe favorite scene of the weekend.
I love that little girl taking the phone and texting and then throwing it back down later on. Later on, when he finds out, he says, I'm changing the passcode to the phone. And she just says, cool story, Dad. I just thought it was great.
Great.
Exactly how I would imagine that would play out. So it was excellent. Let's take one more quick break and we'll come back. We'll wrap this sucker up with the way it was and the what the Hallmark. How's that sound, boys?
That sounds great.
Yeah. Hallmark.
Here's the thing, guys. We're heading into the holiday season, and so you might need somebody to talk to, and I want to introduce you to BetterHelp. BetterHelp is here whenever you need just someone to talk to, whether you're going through a lot of stuff right now or you need to talk about something you just went through. BetterHelp is here, and you can start communicating with a professional in under 48 hours of signing up. They are here for you every step of the way. They have so many amazing reviews for people who have signed up for BetterHelp that have walked them through things. It is a fantastic lifeline. It's been so great for so many people over the past year, especially who have been at home and maybe had to figure out different ways to go through therapy and talk to people about what's going on in life. And BetterHelp was there every step of the way. And here's the good news. If you go to BetterHelp.com/Hallmark, that is BetterHelp, HELP.com/Hallmark, you can get 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/Hallmark. That's 10% off your first month by going to BetterHelp. Talk to somebody today. We are back, and we have two more segments left in this show and of this marathon that we are doing live. Let's talk about this, guys. Let's get to the wait what. Panda, what are you waiting and what are you wanting about Christmas?
In my heart?
In my heart.
not a whole lot here to pick apart.
You weren't locked in this one?
Well, not as much as I could have been. The biggest thing is whenever he's playing his song for his solo, he's playing it. All of a sudden, there's other strings that come in behind him, and the music swells. Like, it's just him playing guitar. It does, in fact, take away from the moment. I think it's a really sweet moment, and the song itself, I don't know. Like you guys said, it's funny that she critiqued him. That's a good scene. You don't need to add anything to that. Like, I think that's a very raw moment. I just, that took me out of it. The ending is just preposterous as well. But man, like, they're all teaming up. They perfectly all nail the music on cue. I don't know. It's your standard Hallmark music stuff. Otherwise, yeah.
Airtight. There it is.
Alonzo?
I'm going to piggyback on that final performance the kid gets nervous, and so the dad and the professional violinist get up on stage to accompany her. If you are the child of a famous musician,
that's right,
of whatever genre,
yeah,
and you get up for your first big solo and you get nervous and you make a mistake, and then your famous parent comes to your rescue by playing his instrument behind you, that's the kind of moment you talked about to a therapist for the rest of your
life. Die of embarrassment.
That is a whole thing of like never feeling like you're going to live up to anything, or that you're being taken seriously, or that anything is happening to you for any other reason than you happen to be this famous person's kid. Like, that is just the worst. Better to let her bomb up there than to get up and like save her within seconds and not give her the chance to fail or succeed on her own. That's just horrible. It's horrible. I couldn't believe I was watching that.
It was bad.
And then on top of that, the whole, like, you know, the act three of like, oh, they're going to leave town and blah, makes zero sense.
No.
Because, like, there are so many country stars who don't live in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, you have your 100 and however many acre farm, the ranch with the horses that we never see.
Yeah, no country stars live in West Virginia.
Yeah, in West Virginia, it's like, dude,
that John Denver's full of.
You commute. You probably, if you don't own a private plane, you can like rent one, go do your thing, come home. You don't have to uproot your kid from this school that she loves, take her away from her grandmother who she loves. You don't have to give up this amazing piece of property where you've been hiding out from the world. Like, none of that makes any sense at all. It's super contrived. And you think it's like, oh, I've been elected to Congress, I must move to Washington, D.C. now. No. So that was nonsense.
First scene, I believe, in the movie, we get a glimpse of her teaching style, which is to talk through what they're, like, the beats that they're supposed to be playing, but with, like, Christmas terminology. So it was like, sugar plum, nutcracker. And it was a very interesting technique. I don't know if it's realistic to teaching violin, but I didn't. It was hot right out of the hot press. She is practicing in her house, and she's really going for it. And she gets done, and her dad walks in, and I know the what he's trying to get at here, but he just goes, "Do you want to take a break?" Like, it's getting a little much for me. this sweet little girl got drums for Hanukkah. She could not care less about these drums. She wants to move on and just talk about something else. Beth at one point says, "I can recommend some downloads." That's not a sentence not a you sentence. Say this year.
Oh, never.
Luke McFarlane does say, "You do that," which I had to write down because I'm five.
That's right. It was the way he said it, too. He didn't say, "You do that." He said, you do that.
Last but not least, this guy hasn't written anything in a while, hasn't recorded. And the label's like, "You got to do something. You got to do something." And my guy has this great idea the week before Christmas, which is, "I'll give the label what they want, which is a Christmas album for next year."
Yay. Oh, boy.
That's That's what the label wants.
And it's a song that I believe is written by him just initially singing nouns. The first time we hear him singing, I think he's just singing the words that come to his head. And it's not like a subject-verb situation. It's just nouns.
But it's much more believable as a I haven't written a song yes, in 7 years true. Moment than the yes. finished product it is of I am an actually accomplished songwriter.
Maybe his problem is, or you were done.
I am.
Is that he believes that musicians really shouldn't practice. That is his fundamental belief.
That's his fundamental belief. Yeah. He think you got it or you don't.
Why are we playing scales and working on things with kids? This is dumb.
He heard Allen Iverson's press conference and he's like, yes! Practice? This guy gets it.
Talking about practice?
Practice.
Either you're a prodigy or scales. Don't pick up an instrument.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Either get it or you don't.
It's absurd.
That's his philosophy.
Go life. Mozart or go
do,
home.
Do you know why she's not interested in those drums? Is because those aren't drums. I am 100% guaranteeing you there are no drums in that package.
Wow.
They never show you the drums. They cover up something else so they don't have to get drums. That is the whole bit there, which is like glaringly obvious. It, if you, you know, if the gun, you know, you if you bring something like that out and say it is a thing, you have to show it.
Right.
And you didn't they show it.
They do set up drums later in the movie.
Yeah, but so. Like... Not even that, like it's just, it's crazy. And then I think my favorite is the West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia Philharmonic has their most important fundraiser of the year in 2 weeks, and they've not yet hired their first chair violinist for the performance.
Yep.
In 2 weeks, they got to make all the money that does the whole season,
yep.
and the first chair violinist has not been cast yet. And you know what? We talk about the Yeah, That Greenville on a regular basis that around here. Greenville. And the Greenville Philharmonic, the Symphony Orchestra, you've never heard them. Wonderful, by the way. We've got one of those. They're great. They wouldn't pull that stunt.
No, they, would
they wouldn't
not,
do it.
Not here.
They'd be
would.
Prepped and ready to go.
Hey, yeah. Not in my Greenville. And no, not that Greenville.
No. Not here.
Not here.
But over in Charleston, West Virginia, apparently, 2 weeks out.
Forget about it.
We'll get some musicians eventually. They're we got time.
They're doing the best they can.
Yeah,
man,
that's know? All I got.
Let's get to the what the hallmark is part of the show. We wonder what could have been. Maybe we have to get some clear questions that we still have. Alonzo, Panda.
I'm wondering about why he needed to build an entire sound studio in his barn. I understand that he's not wanting to, that the original idea is he wants to avoid moving to Nashville. But my thing is, I don't think you have to live in the city. You could just go record and then come back. It seems like that would save him.
Most musicians nowadays build studios.
Right. I understand that. But I'm also saying, like, well, A, how come he didn't have one anyway? Like, that's, I mean, you
would think he could write since his wife died, right?
I see the point. What's the point, you know?
Yeah, but, well, okay. And I guess the other thing is just, I mean, he could still move, like, just temporarily go there if he wanted to, right? Like, there was just a, I think they just made it seem like it was a super permanent thing.
It was a weird
with
all
him.
Or nothing.
From Charleston to Nashville is a trip. It's, you know, it's basically like crossing the Atlantic in a boat. Like you just can't come back from it. Like it just is like once you've done it,
here.
You're here. That's
you're
it.
Done.
You
yeah.
could fall off the edge of the world.
I understand. There you go. It was just I guess that was where I was confused. Like this doesn't seem like it needs to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. Alonzo?
Yeah, I mean, I think just basically, like, is this couple going anywhere? Because I'm not getting, I get zero heat from them. And, like, I don't see a relationship in this movie. Like, this is up there with, like, you know, our boy Benjamin Ayers and Rachel Cook in Blue Ridge Mountain Christmas.
Oh,
like,
don't just, bring it up.
Just to seal it with a business handshake and move on, you know.
Oof.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And also just, the idea of like, great, you're back. Oh, a Christmas album, you say. Well, that's how you come back after 7 years of absence. Sure.
Before the little girl goes up to play her solo, we see there was a little boy who had a French horn solo. Which could go great, could go real bad. How'd it go, bud? How the French? Because you know, no one's going up there to save the French horn. Like, it's a lot. Like, it's the way that that happened. Yes, very unlikely that the violin and the guitar player would go up there and save the day. But at least it would make a little. No one's got a spare French horn lying around to help this kid out if it goes poorly. Yep. How did it go for him?
Yeah. Could have gone, you know, gone every bad. Which way but loose.
Oh, yeah.
Gina points out in the chat that maybe the violin player from Time for Me to Come Home for Christmas.
He's ready to go. So mine is, I had all the thoughts that you guys had about them coming on stage to help her, but she never has this problem all movie long. Do you think there's a chance that the motivation was to get them on stage with her? When she sees them in the crowd, could that have possibly been it?
That's good. That's maybe. Good.
I just want to know if she's playing matchmaker there. She seems to be the smartest person in the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe she's just trying to.
Maybe she's just help a hack, out. Dan.
Maybe she's a hack. Can't I? So, she shouldn't have even practiced. She's not a. She's not.
Yeah,
a
why? If you can't, if you, you got it, you don't.
Yeah, come on.
I think you do that showbiz thing, ladies and gentlemen, the audience and I. Right. My dad, Sean, yeah, come on right. up yeah, exactly. here and give us a tune.
Yeah, you're right. That's fair. Give us a tune.
Well, you can't. He will. He if anybody points out that he is who he is, he just yells at them. Hey, pal, yeah. just back off. Back off. Hey,
but he'll take selfies with anyone who asks.
Anyone. Hey, pal. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey.
Yes, sir.
What a week it's been so far, and there's more coming, including one more Hallmark movie, Santa's Stakeout, which I think we're all very excited
very
about.
Excited.
That's going to be coming out on the Friday, yes? Yes?
Yeah.
On the Friday. So you can look forward to that. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.